Peace and love. Peace and love.
Welcome to this neighborhood, neighbor.
My mom always said life was like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get.
You know what I am? I'm a housewife that figured it out. Wow, 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 wow!
And now, here's the host of Good Things Radio, Brooke Taylor.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Good Things Radio, episode number 53. It's nice to be back. And that kind of sets the tone for the program this time around. My name is Brooke Taylor, and that was the Salve Regina rockin' version from the movie Sister Act. Do you remember that? If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. It's kind of old school now, but it's classic. And Whoopi Goldberg's in the film. And so I was thinking about the plot of that movie, and it kind of has a couple things going on. But one of them is when Whoopi Goldberg is dropped into this church in a very unexpected way, she brings her gift of music, her gift of energy and zeal, and revives this parish and really gives them new life. And that brings people from all over into this church that was kind of dying. And so that's what we're going to talk about a little bit on the show today. Our communities, our churches, our own neighborhoods. Do you feel like you're plugged in and really in a thriving area where you have a lot of sisters and brothers that you can count on and small groups and big things at church? Or do you feel like you're kind of on an island? We're going to talk about that with Father Nathan Crownlee. He's going to join us to not only talk about what we can do in kind of a micro way, but in a macro way as we look at participation in our churches, especially in the United States. So we're going to talk about that on the program today. Also, on a completely different note, we're going to talk about The Revenant. This movie, I know you've heard about. It's been all over the Academy Awards, I think nominated for 12 Oscars. Leonardo DiCaprio won as Best Actor. And I knew about it, that it was a true story. I knew it had to do with a bear and snow. So, I mean, I thought, yeah, when it comes out on DVD, and that it was probably good. But my husband so much wanted to see it that we just decided to go to the Dollar Theater on a random date night on a weeknight, which never happens. But aside from completely white-knuckling it the entire 3 hours, because it's a long movie, I really was impressed and felt like I went away not only that day, but the rest of the week with something that really stuck with me. So we're going to talk about it, and I'm not going to give you any spoilers, don't worry. But it's a good movie, and it has a lot of life lessons, aside from the bear attack and crawling through the woods about endurance and fortitude, but also some faith and virtue lessons too. So we're going to do a little movie review and talk about that. One thing that I wanted to talk about this episode on the program, I'm not going to, but it's for good reason, is because I haven't really researched it. And that is the brand new apostolic encyclical. It's an apostolic exhortation called The Joy of Love. And it's from Pope Francis, was just released. It's a focus on pastoral care. So it's a little different in that an apostolic exhortation is not an encyclical, and encyclicals primarily focus on doctrine. So that's one delineation, that's one difference. But because it's 255 pages long and was just released a few days ago, and I had a speaking engagement and a crazy weekend with sick kids and all sorts of things, I haven't had a chance to really pore over it like I've wanted to. So one place I think is a great resource is ncregister.com. That's nationalcatholicregister.com. And Jimmy Akin has a great, if you're like me, where you're busy and you want to be up on what you need to know and what the important nuggets are, he's got 12 things to know and share about the Pope's new document on marriage. So, and there's actually a couple op-eds on ncregister.com that are really, really good. But that's my goal. I'm going to check it out. I'm going to read it. I did look at that and thought it was really interesting and passed it on to my husband. But in the meantime, I'm going to link you up to that article on Facebook and get your thoughts there. So please don't be shy. Let me know what you think. Have you read it? Because If so, it would be great to get your expert opinion. And if not, you can check it out with all of us there on the Facebook page for Good Things Radio. And as we kick off, I have a special hello and thank you to Lisa. I don't know if you can feel it, Lisa, but I'm giving you a big hug right now. And she is our latest Good Things Radio good friend, patron to the podcast. And as I was once again looking at the Podbean patron stats, it's really for all of them, for iTunes, for everything. Again, I mean, my mind is blown because I am not somebody that, and I know I should be, that pores over the numbers and says, where are we at? How's our growth rate? And, you know, where do we need to reach and be stronger and market and promote? I just try to do the show and as best I can truly connect hearts with the listeners and hope that that people are growing and going and, you know, spreading the word about Good Things Radio. But you are, you're there. And I just want to thank you because I noticed in these stats that not only do we have listeners in all 50 states, but also around the world, from Ireland to Asia, China. I mean, it just amazes me. And I think being a local radio person, my mindset is always right here where I live in my little radius. So thank you for taking the time to listen to the show, for supporting Good Things Radio, and for your patronage, for being a part of the crowdfunding that says, I want to keep the show going. And that's Lisa and so many of our Good Things Radio good friends. So here's how it works. If you just go to podbean.com and you can click on Good Things Radio, just search for Good Things Radio on podbean.com, you can be a part of the crowdfunding. And any minimum, any maximum is totally up to you. Even if it's just a prayer and a download, that is great. And if it is a monetary donation, we just thank you so much. But you can find out more again at podbean.com. I have the app too. And of course, we love, love, love and appreciate your feedback. You had me crying, your feedback, because the last episode was the agony and the ecstasy of autism. And I received an email from a mom who, and I won't say her name, but she is a beautiful mom of multiple children. Her oldest is 21 and is autistic, her daughter. And she said that she was going to the store a couple days ago and her daughter, she thought it was a good day, walked into the store and promptly ran off. And she's 21 years old and caused a major problem in the store, was very disruptive, caused damage. And the mom had to not only find her daughter, get her and calm her down, but then she paid for the damages and she got into the car and said she just cried. And I'm crying reading her email because there's so many emotions. I'm feeling what this mom is feeling. Now I'm going to cry. And also this beautiful woman of faith who for 21 years loves her daughter so much and would give everything for her. She's a single mom and was just saying, would you pray for me and I'll pray for you. And I think that's the beauty of sharing our stories. As much as it hurts and as kind of hard as it can be sometimes to be very vulnerable about where we are, because then you open yourself up to criticism. It's also a beautiful gift because I think that's where the Holy Spirit comes and works and connects us. So thank you to each and every beautiful person who's reached out with feedback. And of course, I always like more because I need to know what you're doing and what you think. So feedback at goodthingsradio.com is how you can do that. Feedback at goodthingsradio.com. And also a quick thank you to Victory Life Church in Stowe, Ohio for allowing me to come to their women's conference. Hello to Rhonda and Myra and Amanda and Barbara and Gina and every beautiful woman who was there. Those are just a few of their names that I've been saying in my prayers, women that I've met over the weekend. And if you'd be so kind, I guess I'm asking for more prayers to pray for obedience on my end. There are some pretty enormous projects that I'm working on, and I don't want to say anything more than that. I don't know why. I just feel like it's right now it's between me and God, and I just feel like a little moth to the flame of the Holy Spirit, and I'm just trying to do in my littleness and blindness everything I can to just stay right there to that heat and that flame and praying for focus and obedience on these things that are coming down the pike. So thank you, first of all, for being here. And in just, I think all of us walking every day with trust and hope that we're doing God's will. So that's my prayer right now. And that God leads. God, you lead, not me. And that's what it's all about.
We got to pray just to make it today. I said we pray.
Pray.
Oh yeah, we pray.
Pray.
We got to pray just to make it today.
Pray.
Now I just think that you can do whatever you want.
Pray.
And as we get into the meat of the program, of course, we always like to start with prayer. But this time I have a little tribute to someone who has impacted my life in ways beyond articulation. And I feel like I just said that in the last program or the program before about Mother Angelica. But now another great mentor, I feel spiritually, Father Edward Hayes, has just died. And if you've listened to the podcast before, you know his work, because I almost every episode talk about him. And even in my own, even if I don't overtly mention him in my own prayers, he's had such an influence. And he passed away. He died on April 3rd, but he fell and hit his head on Easter weekend. They ended up bringing in hospice. He died on Divine Mercy Sunday. His very last blog entry was on Good Friday, fittingly enough. So he has so many prayers. He has over 30 books, but I chose one, and it's so hard. I can't do it justice, but I just chose one because I love this prayer about joy and laughter and humor and hope. And Father Edward Hayes, I feel like, lived and loved those themes. So that's the prayer that I want to share with you, if you join me. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Father and God of fools, Lord of clowns and smiling saints, I rejoice in this playful prayer that you are a God of laughter and tears. Blessed are you, for you have rooted within me the gifts of humor, lightheartedness, and mirth. With jokes and comedy, you cause my heart to sing as laughter is made to flow out of me. I am grateful that your Son, Jesus, who was the world's master of wit, daily invites me to be a fool for your sake, to embrace the madness of your prophets, holy people, and saints. I delight in that holy madness which becomes the very medicine to heal the chaos of the cosmos, since it calls each one of us out of the humdrumness of daily life into joy, adventure, and most of all into freedom. I, who am so easily tempted to barter my freedom for tiny speckles of honor and power, am filled with gratitude that your Son's very life has reminded me to value only love, the communion with the persons and with you, and to balance honor with humor, with circus bands and organ grinders, with fools, clowns, court jesters, and comics, with high-spirited angels and saints. I, too, join the fun and foolishness of life so that your holy laughter may ring out to the edges of the universe. Blessed are you, Lord my God, who invites me to be a holy fool. Amen. God bless you, Father Edward Hayes.
It's Brooks
House.
Date night movie review. Okay, earlier this week, my husband and I were able to steal away, as I mentioned, for a really rare weeknight movie date. And so he wanted to see The Revenant, Leonardo DiCaprio, and I love that it was playing at the Dollar Theater. First of all, that kind of was the bait that took us, because it comes out on, I think it's April 17th. I'll double check that. But wow, if you haven't seen it, what a ride. And I really think that this movie is for everybody, although I know some people have a really low constitution for violence. And I don't even, I mean, it is violent, but more than that, it's like makes your heart beat really fast, blood pressure shoot up on the edge of your seat. It is a ride. I'm just going to play a small portion of the trailer. And this is one that, you know, it's got a lot of music and brooding melodies. So I can only play a little bit. And it does have some language. It is rated R, but I just want to give you a little sneak peek. Here's the trailer.
The proper thing to do would be to finish him off quick.
He's to be cared for as long as necessary.
I understand.
Get away! Help!
What happened?
We did what we had to do. He was buried right.
All I had was my boy. And he took him from me, you understand?
Okay, so the premise, the story, is a frontiersman on a fur trading expedition in the 1820s fights for survival after being mauled by a bear and left for dead by members of his own hunting team. It is intense. And as I said, it was inspired by true events, nominated for 12 Oscar awards. And so I pulled up some life lessons of The Revenant. And see, what happens so often is you see these true stories. And for me, it just shoots me off into wanting to explore and research the real story. And it's Hugh Glass. That's who this story is about. Obviously, there are some embellishments, and I've heard it didn't take place in wintertime, but the foundation of it is true. And his life, actually, I think, is even more extraordinary than the film, if that can be possible. But what was nice about it is I was able to take the true story of Hugh Glass, who was born in the 1780s, I believe, and then this bear happened, this bear happened, yes, it did happen, to Hugh Glass, and it was like, I think in 1820, I may not be perfect about those dates, but then the real story was that it took him 3 to 4 months to trek back to a civilization, a post where he could go and be cared for, and the people who were helping him after he was attacked ended up burying him in a shallow grave and deserting him because they just thought he was a goner. And they left a few people with him because they felt like he should have a Christian burial, but then the rest of the team moved on. And so the story kind of revolves around him really staying alive for the sake of revenge. He's going to get back at those people who caused him such harm. And there's a little bit more of the plot line that I'm not going to talk about, but it is really extraordinary because it does make you think about the purpose of life, the purpose of fighting and trying and the things that we're faced with and survival. And so I pulled up some life lessons from the movie The Revenant, because when you see it, when you have the energy and the time to see it, I know it's going to be a movie that sticks with you. And I thought that there were a lot of virtues and vices and the human condition demonstrated so acutely in this film. And so if you haven't seen it and you're like, I don't even know what it's about, really, these are just good to think about and live out any time, whether or not you've seen it. When you do see it, then it's going to be just like a punctuated underline mark. So number one, you can do it. That's the first message. Whatever you're going through or dealing with, whether it's I need to clean the house and I don't want to go into that bathroom, or something major like chemotherapy or being a caregiver or going through a major life change, you can do it. Leonardo DiCaprio has an amazing line in the movie, and it's this: as long as you can still grab a breath, you fight. Keep breathing. And the blogger says, I found that in the ups and downs and the journey of life, it can be easy to give in and let circumstances determine your future. But trust in God. Hebrews 6:19 says to have hope as an anchor to our soul. May we remember that and be rooted in the foundation and the source of all hope. Interesting story. When I was at the speaking engagement over the weekend at the women's conference, my friend Linda told this amazing story. It's a true story. And if you even YouTube it, you can find this video, because Phillips Craig and Dean, great Christian group, they actually wrote a song based on this story about a heart surgeon who was doing open heart surgery, and his pastor had connected with him and said, do you mind if I come and observe this procedure? And he said yes. So he was in a room where he could observe, and the procedure went forward. They cracked open her chest, they opened her up, they took the heart out, proceeded to do what they needed to do. Then when it was complete, or nearly so, the surgeon began to put her heart back in, and it wasn't functioning. And so he went over and actually whispered in this patient's ear, who was completely unconscious, obviously, to her, he said, tell your heart it needs to start beating. And then it actually began to start beating. Somehow, in the depth of her subconscious, she was able to absorb his words and give that order from her mind to her heart. And so the idea, and then a song was written, tell your heart to keep on beating, that no matter what we're going through, we need to just keep breathing, keep living, keep moving. And I thought that was a really interesting parallel and good message from that movie. Next message about The Revenant: we need help in this life. We can't go it alone. It's okay to receive it. We need each other. The main character in the movie allows others to help him. Same with us. We need friends that are willing to be able to fight the battle with us, be it in sickness or divorce or a heavy season of just a mountain in front of us. Another strong line in the movie: my heart bleeds, but revenge is in the Creator's hands. There's a very interesting twist about that. And Remember, the Creator is for you, not against you. I love that. And finally, what's in your hands can ensure victory. We all sometimes fall into the trap of thinking that when we have specific resources, we're going to be able to do what we need to do. If only I had this, I could do that. If I had this program, this degree, this technology, well, then I would be able to best do that. But that's not true, because so many, whether it's companies or saints, they start out in a deficit. And we talked a little bit about the story of Mother Angelica. God will provide. If He wants you to do it, He will put you there. In the movie The Revenant, the character had a strong heart, but sometimes that is all you need. God will equip you, and you can do so much more than what you think. And that's what's interesting about watching this film, is I thought, we are so wimpy. There is no way. I think like most of us would last one day, let alone what He was able to struggle through. And that's what I just am always amazed at, how the human spirit perseveres. And it also made me think a lot about the Holocaust, because there's one character, his name is Fitzgerald. And I thought, you know, you could so easily pluck him out of the circumstance in the early frontier days of America and put him in World War II, because you have people who are honestly psychopaths, and they're in positions where they can get away with things that in normal civilized circumstances would never be okay. And it just tells us so much about what sin can do, and in the nature of darkness and the fight of light and dark. So those are just a couple tips. I know that maybe I'm way off on a rabbit trail if you haven't seen it, but I just thought, man, for any of us, this is a good life lesson. So The Revenant, it comes out on April 19th, just an FYI. I would take some deep breaths before you watch the film. And definitely, if you're someone that is jumpy, watch it with this person that you can cuddle up with. I would say that's a big tip. Padre. Humbled and honored to once again welcome Father Nathan Cromley back to the program. And we're going to talk a little bit about everything from setting out on a kayak trip to kind of praying while we're paddling, to also our communities right where we are, and Eagle Eye Ministries. We're going to jump around and do a little bit of everything today with Father Nathan Cromley. First, though, welcome back to the show.
I'm so glad to be back with you. It's great. I love being here. Love talking with you.
Well, I want to talk a little bit about right where we are today in our communities. We had such a wonderful time at the retreat, getting to know people from across the country. But what was fascinating was learning about different cultures and communities, some with a very vibrant, strong, thriving community, church, moms groups, Bible studies, and others where they're basically alone. And so that's what I want to talk about. And I pulled up some statistics, wanted to get your thoughts on this. According to the Pew Research Center, I thought this was fascinating. Church involvement, it varies widely among U.S. Christians. The highest involvement rates, Mormons, 67%. They have a high level of engagement, while a comparable share of Jehovah's Witnesses, 64%, highly involved. Those two groups have the highest level of involvement in membership, church attendance, and small group activities. And what was interesting is I pulled the chart, and I don't even know how many denominations are listed here. Everything from Evangelical Protestant to Southern Baptist, Church of God, American Baptist, Presbyterian, Anglican, Episcopal, Orthodox, and all the way down on the very bottom is Catholic. They are the least engaged and involved when it comes to participation and small group mobilizing. So I guess, number one, are you surprised to hear that? And number two, what can we do? Because our population shouldn't reflect that. You know, we represent a large swath of the United States when it comes to the Catholic, Roman Catholic tradition. What are your thoughts about that?
Well, it doesn't surprise me as much as you might expect, because the focus of our church isn't on the community buildup. It really is firstly on the sacraments. And we live at an age where the church has been working from that sacramental basis in a very strong way since the Council of Trent. So in different parts of the world and different histories of her time, you had different emphases being given. But since Trent, our basic approach has been get people into Mass, get people into the baptism, get people into confirmation, because that's where they meet God. But obviously, it needs to be broadened. It needs to be moved. Vatican II did a lot towards that by emphasizing the importance of community and also emphasizing the liturgy of the word. That's where you're going to get a lot of those small groups, is when they start to look into the teachings of things and support one another in a living way. So I'm surprised in a sense that saying it's disappointed, but on the other hand, we're living at a moment of a shift where even within our Catholicism, we recognize that although the Mass is always the goal and the Eucharist is always the goal, we need to build up to that goal. And then we also need to like decant from that goal, pour forth from that goal. So almost like breathing, we need to breathe in to the Eucharist and then breathe out from the Eucharist. But both of those efforts are needed in order to really live the depths of our Catholic faith.
Yeah, I love that you said that. That's such a great point I hadn't thought of. And I remember, too, as you were talking, we were getting ready for an interview with Rick Warren, Pastor Rick Warren from Saddleback Church in California. And he was talking about how I remember him saying when he moved to California, the church he planted was really flailing. And he started the small Christian communities, these small groups, and realized, I can't be at every parishioner's house, at every person when they need me, so I need to mobilize the body of Christ. And that really has been what has taken off. And in our own church, we have the sleeping giant where we live, and it's very large in terms of people who are members. But the participation, I could see his point. We could do a better job because there are so many categories, from natural family planning to maybe folks that might want to consider adopting, to single parents, to those who have children that have lost their faith, and they have an opportunity to get together or just general Bible study. And I also pulled up the statistic about women, because I think this is a special demographic. Those women that are at home, they might have a special opportunity to go out and begin something in their churches. The Gallup poll says this: stay-at-home moms are more likely than moms who are employed outside the home to feel negative emotions like worry, sadness, stress, anger on a daily basis, and more likely to have been diagnosed with clinical depression. I don't think that those things are mutually exclusive from the church to stay-home moms. Do you think that's a special niche, or should women just focus on that vocation for that period of their life, or can you do both and get involved in church?
Well, of course you can. And I also think that part of that's got to have to deal with the way that we stay at home today. I think the big thing, the human heart needs connection. When the human heart is isolated, no matter where you are, you're going to have auxiliary problems. If we stay at home, it's not to stay away from the world. It's in order to be engaged in the world in a different way. And so we have to have that social fabric of belonging no matter what we do. So let's suppose that some people out there have engaged in that. Said, you know what? I want to make a stance. I want to live a different lifestyle. I want to live more simply. I want to be close to my children. I don't care as much about money or glamour, etc. That's fine, but your heart needs to be connected. And so you can almost gauge the health of a woman's heart by the health of her relationships. And if you find that your relationships are not healthy or either toxic or you don't have enough of them or whatever, that's really cause for immediacy, where you've got to become connected again. Even Our Lady was connected to her kinswoman Elizabeth. And when Elizabeth greeted her, they spent 3 months together in that bonding together. And you can't imagine Our Lady not being connected with all the other people. In Cana, for example, it was very clear that she was invited, and then Jesus was invited as well. So that the mother of the wedding feast, Mary, was there, and Jesus' disciples were there also. So, I mean, Our Lady was part of the social fabric, and each one of our hearts needs that. So that's where I would put your emphasis. I'd say to yourself, regardless of my home or am I not, am I a meaningful part of other people's lives, and do they have a meaningful role to play in my life?
So that's a great point when you talk about Our Lady, because we know that to be true. And I think with the feeling of overwhelm so many women feel, whether they're just having newborns or I don't think it goes away. The older your kids get, I'm realizing that. But thinking, I have so much to do on a daily basis and nobody is doing anything at my church to develop these meaningful relationships. Where does a woman start? Does she sit in silent prayer and say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do? How can I connect women? Is it a meal ministry? Is it a book club? Is it just a matter of discernment and prayer? Or do we go to our church pastor and say, what can I do? Put me to use. Because sometimes you regret asking the question. Should you be singular focused on this is what I want to do? I mean, how do you discern that for those areas where there really isn't anything going on?
I think that's a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful question. Mother Teresa would say that the need is the call. And so obviously that's a way, a sure recipe of going crazy as you run around to all the needs. But when you found a need that you're purposefully serving, well, that's good. I mean, you don't need 15, but you probably need one. I mean, you can't think about this too much, ladies. If you allow life to be true, you don't have room for 15,000 different things. So what you need to do is have an order in your life. Keep order, and order will keep you. That's what St. Augustine said. The order of your life comes, first of all, from your deep vocation of the gift of your body. So if that's in marriage, if that's in religious life, firstly, that's your number one thing. And that means your first time is going to be there. Once that's stable, though, and to the degree that you can, well, having a cause that you serve is extremely helpful. Because again, that's what we're made for. So how do you discern which one? Well, if you don't have a need that's right in front of you, of course it makes sense to look at your parish community as the first place for you to serve. Or another one, but you need to make sure that that need is something that's fulfilling you. It's not just because, oh, there are people that need to do this, that I have to do it. No, hang on. There's so many things. You need to fit in that service in a way that actually fits into your bigger life mission, fits into how you serve in your family, that goes well with your dynamic, because your service should be building you up and not just taking away from you.
And I think, too, to be bold in being creative about it. You know, there was, and I think I said this in one of the other episodes, a church that I had spoken at, and they had a Titus women's ministry where they had older women that mentored younger women, and they had a dinner, and the older women served the younger women. And I mean, you know, moms in their 70s and 60s to the younger women being in their 40s to 20s. And then they sat across, and they were able to impart wisdom, exchange contact information, keep in touch. That's such a creative, beautiful idea, but simple. And the older moms had more time on their hands, you would think, so they could be the ones to kind of prepare it and plan it and get it together. And it just takes one person to get the ball rolling. And I think it's also easy to get discouraged if you put it out there and no one responds. But I think it is important to remember it's quality over quantity. And if you only do have two women that want to come and start a night of adoration, that's okay. But just to be creative.
I'd like to share with you a story. You know, there's six women that I met with in one city. I came to give a talk at a woman's house, and she invited her friends over, and so they liked me. They had me come back again, BB Swiss, 6, 8, 10. But they were looking for how to go deeper, and I said, well, why don't you just start yourselves? And so what they did is they made a commitment for 1 year. They weren't going to try to grow it. They're not trying to go to 7, 8, 9, 15, 30 women. They just wanted themselves to be a group of friends. And that's what I encouraged them to do. And so they made a commitment. They'd meet twice a month. One time is just for fellowship and for chit-chat and for catching up with each other. And the other time is just for prayer. And they've made a commitment to do that for 1 year. And they've written me and told me that that has totally transformed their lives, their spiritual lives, their marriages, because they have friendship. Ladies, how non-creative is that? How simple is that? And yet how life-transforming that is. You simply make a covenant with your friends to be intentional about your friendship. That's where it all starts. And so if you want to say, okay, what am I supposed to do? How do I find those good relationships? Start with one that you have. Why don't you say, okay, I want one Christian friend who also wants that friendship. And we're going to say lunch on Tuesdays. Lunch on Tuesdays is our time. And we do the same thing every time. We do a Bible sharing together over at Panera Bread or at wherever we're going to go. We know we wouldn't want to go to Starbucks. We'd want to boycott Starbucks, but whatever it might be, you want to go to that place and have a ritual that you do where you feed yourselves. That friendship's going to grow. There'll be a third that wants to come. There'll be a fourth, and that's all you need. That's what's going to keep that. And from there, there'll be all kinds of great initiatives that can be launched and room for growth. But when you start a big fire, you start by making a very small, intense fire. And once that small fire is going, you can add indefinitely to it. But if you start with a huge bunch of wood and try to throw gasoline on it, it won't light. You start small, and then you can light up the whole forest.
And when you're talking, I'm thinking about my mom's Bible study. It's called Sanctuary Cove, and they've met for over 20 years now. And it started just as you say. But now through these decades, these women have seen each other through raising their children, losing spouses, walking with them and holding the Christ light for them through different journeys of their lives and stages. And I see the beauty in that. It's like a glimpse of heaven, because these are women that have all grown with gifts of the Holy Spirit and strength and been lifted up on the shoulders of the other women. So that's what I love. It's like you said, that long, slow burning fire that really brings warmth to your soul for decades, and you can just be comfortable in their presence. And we did that. We have a book club. It's called Mater Fidelis, Faithful Mothers. And it is, I mean, it's kind of organic, where sometimes we get a book, but we have an issue that we're all dealing with our kids. And so we all rally, or we really crack open that chapter. And it's been developed over time, though. So I love that you said keep it simple. That's always the best too. And speaking of initiatives, you know intimately well that this road you've traveled with the Holy Spirit of starting things through Eagle Eye Ministries and St. John Institute, and we're going to talk a little bit about everything today with that. But for you, You're kind of all over and doing so much, and I want to zero in on one thing in particular, your excursions. We talked a little bit about that at the retreat when you spoke, but you do excursions with young men, young adults, women, and you have one coming up that's a kayak trip. Could you share about that, and can we sign up? Well, the young women can, right?
Yeah, but our goal is to ages 18 to 35, so it all depends on how you define young, right? Well, we're going to be going to the Apostle Islands in northern Wisconsin, and I'd like just to have a moment of beauty. I think that beauty releases strength and spirit in the soul in a way unlike anything else. So my goal will be to take a group of women. We'll also have a couple of sisters with us. And we're going to go to one of the most beautiful spots that I know, the lake shores of upper Wisconsin. And there we'll have camping and kayaking every day, going through the sea caves, the red sandstone cliffs. But the focus being to reflect deeply on the embracing the vocation to womanhood, because our womanhood is not just something that we receive, it's also something to which we're called. And so I want to spend intentional time in prayer, silence, but also fellowship, joy, and the beauties of outdoor Wisconsin. That's June 4th to June 11th, and we're taking signups now. So that's on eagleeyeministries.org. You might also be someone who'd like to sponsor a trip for a woman. You say, I'd like to donate towards that. We'd be happy if you contact us, and we can designate that donation as a scholarship, because there are women who'd like to go, the young ones from college, for example, but can't afford it. Life-changing trip. June 4th to June 11th, eagleeyeministries.org under excursions. And I just hope many of our listeners will be able to come.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard to really say enough. And you do retreats, and you do so much with Eagle Eye Ministries. And so just checking out the website is good, and donating. But also, the biggest thing your heart's been building, again, with the help of the Holy Spirit, is St. John Institute. And you're ready about to cut the blue ribbon and open the doors, right, for the first class?
I can't wait. Yep, we actually have two students already accepted. We've got another three in the pipeline. And we'd love to have more. So we have our first class coming in. This is for a fully accredited MBA, Master's in Business. Our students can go anywhere they want afterwards and work for the church, for the secular world. But what we give is a unity of formation between that business development and then prayer and community life and reading the Bible and spiritual direction and outdoor leadership and liturgy and the arts. We're going to give the most of the best to the thirstiest. And then our graduates are going to be able to go forth and change the world. So that's saintjohninstitute.org, S-A-I-N-T, johninstitute.org. And we do have an opening class, and I'd love to have more ladies coming. Great opportunity. You have maybe a daughter or a niece. She's 24. She's 26. She's looking around saying, what am I supposed to do with my life? Or a son doing the same thing. He dropped out of seminary, or he's just coming back from the army. And you know that they want to get an MBA. This is the best place to get it, because you get an MBA with Father Nathan. How about that? I'm going to be there. I think it's so great. So hopefully they can come too.
If you do say so yourself. But also, now I forgot. Oh, if you want to donate or support a student, you can do that. I know we've talked about that as well. And I know you need prayer support, prayer warriors, and also monetary givers as well.
Yeah, I'll give you an easy idea. Let's suppose someone says, okay, Father Nathan, like if I were to ask you, could you give me $200 a month? You'd say, oh my gosh, how could you even ask for that much? Well, $200 a month is 10% of $2,000 a month. So someone who's making $24,000 a year, they're giving 10% would be giving me $240 a month. So if I were to say, if you're not making $24,000, let's suppose you're making $48,000. Now I'm only asking for half of your tithe. So suddenly it's kind of like, well, if we're going to be tithing 10% anyway, well, only half of that. And that's if you're making $48,000. Maybe some people out there are making a little bit more than that. So, I mean, like suddenly what sounds like a really big ask actually isn't that big if you believe in the mission. And the mission is my graduates are going to go forth and open missions. This is an exponentially influential group, meaning every one of my graduates will influence 10,000 more people. And they're going to be formed to be able to form. So this is really an investment that's going to be, I mean, it's going to touch lives and transform it. So yes, I am looking for support and we'd be happy to receive it. You go to the website, saintjohninstitute.org, and reach out to us. We'll be happy to help you to help transform the church.
And it's such a need. I mean, we've talked about that before. And I think anyone that has been blessed to encounter you knows this is your gift. This is your special charism. So it's an investment in a soul that will be multiplied, which is a beautiful thing. And also, before we wrap up, I want to mention something else talking about building the kingdom and the new evangelization and families. You have a retreat for our Ohio friends, even our Pennsylvania friends, I would say, that's coming up on April 23rd. Well, and it's the 22nd as well, Friday, Saturday. I also have an event the 23rd, which I'm excited, but yet not, because I'm going to miss you. But I'm going to be at Grace Baptist Church with Sheila Walsh and Jackie Velasquez and my friend Linda Isaiah speaking. You're going to be, in the meantime, evangelizing the families on Friday and Saturday. So tell us about that and how can we go?
Well, I'm really excited about it, actually, because it's a new ministry that I'm developing. It's in conjunction with a ministry called HeroicFamilies.com. And Heroic Families is a beautiful effort to teach families how to find the why and the purpose for their families. And so it began with a retreat that I gave in Colorado where I talked about that, and this couple was hit by the Holy Spirit. And now they're working full-time to develop that and to preach to families across the country that if you find your why, your mission, then your family will be able to grow. And so what I'm going to be doing is kind of a replica of what I did in Colorado here in Ohio, and hopefully we'll start another firestorm of families rising up for holiness. And the goal is simple. If you don't know where you're going, that's the quickest way to never get there. So we're going to focus in on where is your family going and how can you discern what God's grace is for that family. And actually, we're going to work on a book. I'd like to make this book, get this out there, because I think it's a message we all need. In particular, this is great for the men, because so many of us were like, oh, we wish our husbands would be spiritual leaders. Yeah, but do you know where is he supposed to lead you to go to? And then you say, well, I mean, he's supposed to lead. Yeah, well, maybe that's why he's not leading. A leader needs to know the purpose. So if you were to spend some time empowering your husband to say, what is our purpose and where are we going? And let's decide together on what the purpose is. Well, then he'd have some tools to lead. And that's what I'm going to develop on this retreat.
Okay, that's fantastic. I wrote that down. If you don't know where you're going, how are you ever going to get there? Jesus take the wheel. Okay, thank you so much, Father Nathan.
Wow, so much on today's program. Thank you so much to my guest, Father Nathan Cromley. Thank you to every single person who took the time to email over the last program and every feedback we receive. If you haven't written in yet, please take the time. Feedback@goodthingsradio.com is how you can reach out. Also, on Voxer, we get a lot of audio feedback that way too. My Voxer name, I'm actually pulling it up right now because I can't remember my profile name. You can find me at Brooke Taylor and the number one. That's me on Voxer. And message me, send your feedback that way. We can plug it right into the show also. And a big thank you to my producer, Mark Cumming from Cumming Home Studio, for his dynamic skills and quick work. Mark is a producer extraordinaire and wears many hats. So to find out more, you can reach him at cumminghomestudio.com. Also, have you had a chance yet to leave an iTunes review of Good Things Radio? If not, please take the time and just share your thoughts. I hope they're good. But that helps others find the show as well. And if you haven't subscribed yet, you can do that on iTunes. Just look for Good Things Radio. Hit subscribe. And we're on goodthingsradio.com. You can find us that way. That's our website, and also Podbean as well. God bless you. Thank you so much for being a part of episode number 53. And remember, hope is an anchor. God is for us. And may God be with you this week and every step of your journey. God bless you.